Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now imagine, you wake up one day and you find out you've actually been underpaid over the last few years.
Who do I sue?
That would be a question, wouldn't it?
Quite strong, but actually, even though you say imagine this, it actually happened to 3,000 former and currently serving officers in Singapore Civil Service. Can you imagine that?
Quite a remarkable story. It made headline news. It was found that this group of people have been mistakenly undercompensated by a total of around $10 million.
So you're looking at things like how it's impacted benefits they receive, such as, say, their starting salaries, even their medical leave wages as well.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, this has been scrutinised. According to a press statement by the Public Service Division, or PSD, the Civil Service will compensate both current and past officers who were underpaid due to these errors, with the total sum amounting to around $10 million. I can't get over that figure.
How does this happen? How did it happen? And obviously, how can you avoid it? Well, let's see if we can get some answers from Gary Chua, the Chief Operating Officer of Acinity, Asia Pacific and Japan. Now, these guys, they specialize in enterprise data management. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. And good morning, Manisha. Thank you, and pleasure to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you. Let's begin with this story, which made headlines recently, this report that 3,000 civil servants would get $10 million in compensation after data errors were discovered in the Civil Service's human resources and payroll IT systems. The phrase that comes to me is, it can happen to the best of them, but give us a definition of how bad data ends up infiltrating the system.
Yeah, sure. Look, with that data, it comes in many forms, right? So if you start with what the data is about, you know, it has to be fit for its intended purpose of use. So data is something that you can rely on to be valid and accurate as well, right? So bad data, it comes about by, well, let me take a simple example. You know, take your mobile phone, for example, right? And if you think of all the personal contacts in your mobile phone as data, there's a high chance that not all the data is correct. And if you don't manage it, you don't maintain it, it will only get worse over time. So while it might be a mild inconvenience as far as that's concerned, you take a financial sector, or you take an emergency health service, or a large public sector. You know, we're talking about large organizations. You talk about multiple business entities. You're talking about multiple departments. You've got multiple employees as well. So, you know, you spread that across different regions and the data spread, it's not hard to see how over time managing these data can be very, very challenging.
Okay. So, Gary, what went wrong in this scenario? Is it really just a case of not managing the bad data that you mentioned?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a couple of factors. I mean, if you refer to the report, there are three key areas that cause that. One is, it mentions that it's human error in data entry. And by the way, studies have shown that this is one of the biggest areas of problems across the board, not only, obviously, government sectors. The other area is around coding of errors that went undetected.
Okay.
And the third is around that fact that it took many years for them to validate that, even if once they found the error, it took them many years to validate it before they say, okay, I think we've got a problem here, before they can pay back those that were affected.
So I guess the question then becomes, how do you know? How do you know that you've got a problem? I mean, in this case, how did you know if the data was good or bad? What would you be looking out for?
Well, that's a very good question. So, and data is an area that's still underestimated by many organizations. So if you look at data quality, it's like human health, right? If you don't proactively check and maintain it, it's only when the consequences are felt, when you realize you have bad data. So in this case, you know, like the civil servant records, it highlighted that it reported that he had underpaid, but it also overpaid 3.9 that went undetected. So over time, the impact is huge. Now, coming back to your question is, you know, how do you then make sure you capture this, right, and prevent this from happening? And if you go back to the three causes that I talked about, one, many organizations now need to focus on the people that are handling the day-to-day data, you know, making sure that they're effectively trained. But even with that, we know when humans do get involved, errors do come into it. So it is important to also implement effective process and governance so that you at least have the right check and balances in place. And the third thing is, what is becoming more increasingly critical is the effective use of technology. Because if you look at the large volume or the exponential growth of data that's happening right now around us, you know, to do it manually is not possible, right? Mm. So with that in mind, you know, what you really need to do is have an automated system that helps you streamline the detection, the remediation, and the prevention going forward. And so this frees up, obviously, the people to focus on other areas that's more important.
I can't help but want to throw a bit of attitude into the situation, or having the wrong attitude, because I've seen a lot of people, I have a lot of friends and even myself, we've gone through painful auditing processes every year. Mm-hmm. And the question I constantly have is, why can't auditing be more automated? Why can't AI be involved? Gary, in your opinion, do you think people are hesitant on implementing AI, especially with this government data? It should have been implemented a long time ago.
You're absolutely right. I think with the digital agenda, a lot of people are implementing innovation to analyze and report. One thing that, which is now becoming more an increasing awareness of the quality of data, now they're starting to look at platform that helps them to improve the quality of data.
Right.
So you're right. There are, you know, there are platforms that actually helps with AI, with machine language, to, again, automate that early detection as well as the maintenance and governance of good quality data going forward.
Gary, I'm quite curious about one thing. Who should the maintenance of data fall upon and the input of data fall upon? Is there a balance to be struck between having people take responsibility for their own information? You know, when you fill in a form or something like that, should there be legal caveats that, you know, you've got to look over it and make sure that you got it right in the first place? I mean, you can start to spread the burden, surely.
You're absolutely right. And you know, with online systems these days, they're trying to build that into the form. But at the same time, you know, inevitably, when there's any human touch, errors will come through. And one of the things that with the right effective adoption of technology, the key is that it will pick this up. It will do that match. You know, it'll use artificial intelligence to pull together various patterns to identify, does this look like bad data, right? Mm. Ultimately, it still requires some form of intervention, right, by humans to validate, to say, yes, is this correct, right? And you need that because, again, referring back to what you talked about, auto purposes, there needs to be a trail of accountability, right? And unfortunately, if you look at the large organizations that I talked about, you've got your customers, you've got your business users, then you've got the IT department, and then all the way to, you know, who then truly owns the core data, right? That corporate asset. So from that perspective, you know, the ownership ultimately lies with the company, right? It is their corporate asset, right? They need to manage that effectively, obviously, to one, make sure that it's compliant. At the same time, it can deliver real value for their customers as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on that because I recently had to have a minor procedure at a hospital, and I remember being asked to check my name labels and my information. You know, you have to do it on repeat over and over and over again. But that was indicative of how careful you have to be, certainly in a medical environment. But the question is, how do you make that more scalable for companies and in, you know, your everyday scenarios? But
yeah, and if I could pick that up, Manisha, and if this is where, you know, there are some problems with bad quality of data trickles in. If you go through not only just the health services, you go to various other areas, departments and so forth, you'll find that you fill out a lot of forms, and typically some of this data goes to multiple systems, right? And sometimes you might, you know, in my example, sometimes I might write down my name as Gary Chua, my full name is Gary Hockey Chua, and you get Hockey Chua. So as a result, right, at the end, you know, when they try and consolidate that and pull the information together, who is the right Gary Chua? Right. And then with that, you know, if you look at a commercial perspective, company can overspend on marketing. But whereas more importantly, am I finding the right person to deliver maybe a critical health service that needs to be delivered timely to that individual? So it could be quite, the impact can be quite significant.
Will the real Gary Chua please stand up? Gary, is it too late to be asking the question, what has COVID-19 done to my data management? Has it made it worse? And if it isn't too late, what's the recovery plan then when it comes to data management?
That's a very good question. I mean, if you look at what the COVID event has done, it's actually accelerated the digital agenda, right? Mm. not only are you seeing different types of data, such as facial recognition, biometrics data that's now becoming prevalent in our day-to-day activities, companies had to increase their online presence as well. And what's really important right now, and really important for companies, is capturing that experience data. So not only your data, but more about how do you feel about their products? How do you feel about this, about their services, right? And they're really then, that whole combination is really now causing a real exponential growth in the data. So the big challenge for a lot of companies now is how do they manage that? How do they then protect it, keep it secure? At the same time, how do they harness that to be able to, again, deliver real value back to you as a customer or consumer?
Yeah, well, you know, as we sort of come into the culmination of this conversation, let's go full circle back to that government story. What do we know about the kind of implementation of measures for the future so that we can avoid seeing this kind of thing happening again?
Yeah, look, again, you know, I'm not in a position to talk on behalf of that particular organization, but certainly what we're doing for our customers is really to look at, you know, around the data governance. There's whole aspects around making sure that you have the right checks and balances in place. You have all the right effective processes in place. Mm. People are clear what are they responsible for. You know, again, as I talked about, what we're expecting from the customers, what we're expecting from the business users, what we're expecting from the IT department that eventually have to collate all this data together. And then the third thing, which is also very important, is, again, we talked about the COVID. We talked about the proliferation of connected mobile devices. Now, we talked about, and also now the introduction of 5G, right? It's giving us faster, more reliable mobile connectivity. So there's going to be a lot more data that's flowing around. So the culmination of this is going to give us, you know, quantum leaps and bounds in amount and information that we need to do. So you can't expect any organization, right, to be able to do that manually. So the effective use of technology is becoming increasingly critical, and hence obviously having that data management platform that helps you to, that embraces AI, that embraces machine learning to help you significantly cut down not only the human touch, but to help you to drive more effective detection and remediation when that error does occur.
Yeah, I always believe, why punish your brain when something can do these simple tasks for you? Or simple to the machine anyway. Gary Chua, absolutely. Chief Operating Officer of Syniti Asia Pacific and Japan. Gary, great speaking with you. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.